Hello. Good morning. Thank you, Linda, and the worship team for leading us this morning. Thank you so much. Do we have the lions or the cats in the house? Some people are quiet. Any cats? Lions? People are scared. So I want to give you the holiday on Friday. There's no holiday. It's amazing that sometimes we get so passionate when we're watching sports. It's lovely, but sometimes it's painful when you're losing. But there's another season for the Cats, and well done for the Lions for winning. Some of us go for rugby league. I was going for the Cowboys, who were beaten up by the Sharks. The Sharks were too crazy. So, anyway, I want us to pray as we begin our message this morning. Anybody who is not feeling well and you need prayer this morning? Anybody? All right, we're all strengthened. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you for your message today, that as we share today, as we look at your word this morning, Lord, I pray for your anointing. I pray for your wisdom, Father. A number of us who are feeling unwell at home, we continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for Anne Thompson as she continues to recover from home, and we continue to pray that, Lord, may you surround her with your love. May you give her peace as she continues to rest at home. And we pray, Father, Lord, may you continue to give her strength. And we pray for David as well as you continue to support her. We pray, Lord, that may you continue to journey with them through this journey. We pray for some of us that have been unwell for a while, and we continue to pray and trust you for healing, Father. Continue to pray also for Noreen's family. We pray for Heather and the rest of the siblings, Lord, as they reflect on their journey they spend with their mom and their grandmom for grandkids. We pray for them, Father, during this season. May you comfort them through this time, Lord, and be their strength, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to welcome us one more time as we look at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, thanks for Linda for reading for us. We've been looking at the topic of revival. And for those of us who were not here last Sunday, we talked about the meaning of revival last week. And today I want us to reflect a bit on the purpose of revival. And the reason why revival is so key today, the church today is not different from the church that was there yesterday. And the church was there last year and last century. And I do believe that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And that's why he has not given up on you and I, because there's a plan, there's a purpose he has for us to fulfill as he brings revival for us. Last week I was talking . We looked at the story of King Solomon. And when I think about King Solomon, you feel so sad because it took me back to the time my grandfather was about 98 years old, that he would only send his offering to church, my mom would also go there and have his offering and take to church, because my grandfather was so old, he couldn't even go to church. And then the pastor would come and visit to spend time with him and read the scripture. And sometimes I ask myself, have we come to that place where we can only send our offering or send our something to God because we cannot be able to be in that place where you want us to be? The truth is that the death, spiritual death, is hard to see. But because God is God, he can see at the level where we stand at the moment. And for some of us, we are doing so well, we are at what some of the young people call GB5. You know what 5GB looks like? When you look at your phone and you see all the lines are still there, 5GB. Some of us are still 4GB. At least you see four lines. Some of us are still on 3GB. You're racing up slowly. And some of us still on 1GB. You know, sometimes you want to read the message, it goes round a little bit, round, round, round. And then it opens up. And then you get frustrated a bit. But we're all Christians. We're in a journey together. You know, Solomon thought probably by building the temple and dedicating it to God would bring revival. You know? Instead, God asked him to do four things, which we looked at last week. Prayer, see God's face, and repentance. The Lord told me, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, friends, it's good to do things for God. It's good to come to church. It's good to be in a small group. It's good to tithe or give offerings. It's good to do a lot of things for God. And it's important for the kingdom of God. But I think the Lord is looking at your heart and my heart and the relationship between us and him that matters. Because you can give the whole of your salary, you can give the whole of your house to God. But if your heart is far away from God, they won't matter to him. They won't matter. And today, as you look at the purpose of revival, I ask each one of us to reflect on yourself, because I'm going to reflect on myself as well and ask yourself, where am I standing? Am I standing on 1GB? Or on 5GB. Let me use that term for now because that's a modern language. Because I've been hearing the government, very soon they're going to switch off. I think 3GB is going to be switched off in the next coming few, either months or years. So for some of us who haven't upgraded to that level, probably you'll be switched off. And I pray that God will not switch us off when that time comes. You know, many times when we hear about revival, we think about big names like Wesley, you know, Whitefield, Jonathan Edwards, Bill Graham, etc. But yes, these are great speakers. They were great speakers. But I believe that God has been reviving each of us individually as well, in our journey, in each day. That as we wake up individually, as to do your things you do, devotions or prayer, whatever you do to revive yourself, to keep your spiritual life healthy, I believe God has been gradually keeping us alive in our journey of faith. And for some of us, maybe it's just a prayer you say every morning that keeps you alive. For some of us, it could be the book you read, the devotion you read each morning that keeps you alive. For others, it could be maybe there's some music you listen to every morning and tell God, thank you that all my life you've been faithful. That keeps us alive. In the book we've just read, the book of Acts chapter 1, it shows that Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection appearing to his apostles before his ascension. He promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit and commanded them to witness his teachings from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Just like I mentioned before, that God had a purpose, God had a plan for these people. He didn't just call them and say, wait for me, Jerusalem, I'm going to tell you goodbye, or wait for me in Jerusalem that I'm going to fill you up so that you can feel nicely. He said, wait for me in Jerusalem because I want to give you something that I promised that will help you to fulfill the mission that we started with you. I want to give you something that can give you the energy, can boost your morale, that can give you the strength to be able to fulfill this mission. Because this mission is not easy for you guys. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. You can see he's not giving up on them. He's still coming back because he knew that they were discouraged. He knew that they were overwhelmed. He knew that probably they were giving up to do the mission. He knew that they were feeling hopeless to be able to fulfill the vision that the mission had given them. So he spent time convincing them, I'm still here, I'm not dead, I'm still alive. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Wait for the gift, so that it can help you to fulfill the things that I want you to do. So today, as you think about the purpose of revival, I want us to reflect on this story. I want us to ask ourselves that what can we learn from this story? What is it that these guys that were feeling hopeless, that were feeling so overwhelmed, what gave them the energy, the assurance that there's something special that was coming up? And the first thing we pick from this story is revival brings transformation. Revival brings transformation. You can never experience the presence of God and stay the same person. I can guarantee you. In 1988, in the city of Nairobi, there were two big crusades, either 88 or 87, I haven't checked the date correctly, but around that time. One was for Reverend Reinhard Bonnke, and another one was for a local lady in Nairobi. And they were competing for numbers, that who get the bigger crowd between Reinhard Bonnke and the local lady. And this local lady, she got somebody who looked like Jesus. And she had almost 70,000 as well, filled up like a football stadium. And she got up a guy who looked like Jesus and dressed the stuff you see in the pictures. And while people were praying, almost 70,000 in her crusade, this guy just rocked up and said he was Jesus. And you can imagine how people fell. People were on the floor. People were crying. People were repenting. People are like, God, I thought it used to be a joke, but now I've seen Jesus for myself. But of course, it wasn't true. But people out there believed it was true. And a lot of people got saved at the end of it. Somebody faking Jesus in a crusade. People giving their lives to Jesus. I cannot explain the scenario. But what I'm saying today is, if that was fake and people got saved, imagine if you see him yourself and you experience him. I must reflect back, because we are here, as most of us, as Christians, and we are saying that we've experienced Christ. We've received him in our lives. We journey with him in our daily walk. Can we say we are moving forward or we are moving backwards in a Christian journey with him? Acts 1 beautifully lays the groundwork for the birth and expansion of the early church, from the ascension of Jesus to the promise of the Holy Spirit. It emphasizes the transformation of the apostles from mere followers to leaders. These people were followers. In fact, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And if you look at, I think it's John 21, where Jesus had to spend time with Peter, reminding him about the call, that will you take care of the sheep? These were people that were scared. These are people that depended on Jesus. But after the moment of revival, after they experienced God through the Holy Spirit, they were different people. People that were termed that, people that never went to school, people that never had the theological background, they had a total transformation and understood clearly the message they needed to pass to the people. It says in the next level there, let me just read what I wanted to read before that. That when people saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. Friends, people can tell. We don't even have some time to talk to people. That you've had an experience. People can tell when you had an experience with Christ, when you had an encounter with the presence of God. People can see. People can tell from the things you do if you do that. The second thing I want to talk about is revival ignites a new passion for God. You know those moments you wake up and you feel like church. Do I go, do I not? Do I read the Bible? You know, the passion can easily disappear for God. But you can see clearly that the people, Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, that these people are not drunk as you suppose. They're not drunk. Because the passion, the level that they're operating, it was beyond what the expectation. Those of us who have come from, we call them at home JW background. You know what JW stands for? Jehovah's Witnesses. You've seen how those guys can be sometimes so aggressive. I just like their passion. You know, they come knocking doors. Can I talk to you about God? You know. We did a training back in the 90s by a man called Kennedy. It was called Evangelism Explosion. I think I did it back in 1993, that training, where we had actually literally to knock people's doors, visit hospitals, and talk to people about Jesus without fear. And I look back and ask God, can I have that passion again? That I can boldly talk to people about you. And the challenge we have today is not because we don't have the Spirit of God. The challenge we have today, the passion is dying slowly. We are not enthusiastic anymore about the things of Him that has called us. I was reading the story of Peter telling his friends that I'm going fishing. And they replied, we'll go with you. So they went out and fished through the night, but caught nothing. Then at dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that was even him. When the passion for something goes, you get passion for something else. Welcome, Tim. Tim, when I think about fishing, I think about Tim. Welcome back. Because I know Tim loves fishing. But one thing I like about Tim, whenever he's here, he's in church. His passion. I know you have passion for God. Thank you, Tim. I see Dennis here. Welcome, Dennis. Passion for God, you know. And there are people, I can name each of you, that you left everything at home. You left the things you value, the things that bring purpose and meaning to you at home, because you chose to be with the people that love the same person who is Christ with you. But I know there are moments when that passion disappears. The enemy can also bring another passion for you. And for these guys, fishing was their passion. And now Jesus is gone. The momentum is gone. The vision is dying. Fishing is the next option for them to go and do. Next one. You know, someone asks, is it possible for us to be in church but still be spiritually dead? It's possible. It's in the Bible here. You know? If you look at the message of to the seven churches in Revelation 2, it serves as a timeless mirror for us to examine our spiritual condition. They show that we can easily lose our momentum and spiritual passion. If you read about this church, the Sardis church, they are told, you're dead unless you repent. This is a church, it's not some people in the community there. It's a church that loved Christ, that did things for Christ. But Jesus is saying, you are spiritually dead. I wonder how many churches today that Christ can come and find us alive in Him. So revival ignites a new passion for God. And I pray that God will give us that revival. as you pray individually in your journey, ask God to bring that passion for us, to renew that passion for us, renew that fire for each one of us. And the last thing I want to share with us today, revival. Revival empowers believers for God's mission. If you are not fulfilling God's mission, we are as good as dead church. The church of the Sabbath were Christians but denied God's power in their lives. Friends, like I mentioned earlier, we can be like Solomon and put up the most significant, the most precious building in the world. We can have the most beautiful choir. Or we can even have the best speaker in the whole of the world. But if you are not fulfilling his mission, it's a dead church. Because the power he puts in us, the work that he's doing in us, the work of sanctifying us, the work of purifying us, the work of making us pure, is not just for us to feel good. It's a work for us to step out and live like Christ and be a good example to the community and touch somebody's life in the community, encourage somebody, speak to somebody about the love of Christ. Next one, Jerry. And Jesus had an issue with the Sabbath church, and that's why he called them a dead church. He told them to wake up. They needed a revival to bring them back to the life and serve God with the right motive. My question today, what is God's mission for you and I today? Is God's mission for us to go back fishing or to do the things that he would like us to do? Reading from the scroll of prophet Isaiah, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is his mission. And today is inviting us as Christians to make that choice. Today is inviting you and I to make the choice to join him in his purpose and vision, or to go back and do the fishing that we wish to do. And as Christians, God has given us an opportunity to be the hope, to bring healing and to reach out to the brokenhearted and share the good news to our community. The Bible says, Peter, a man full of the Holy Spirit and given to prayer, was used by God to raise the dead woman Dorcas to life. And this miracle led many people in that town of Joppa to faith. Friends, it's the transformation that helps us to move to the next level, and the passion that we add in. You can be transformed, but without the passion, you cannot be stepped out. So it's being available and waiting, because they went to Jerusalem and waited, and they were not waiting as it as they eat. They're waiting in prayer. They're waiting with an expectation. They're waiting with their hearts that are hungry for something. They are waiting with the curiosity. And through the waiting, they found the power. They found the transformation that changed their lives. And their passion of reaching out came back. The desire to go out came back. And the mission was so clear. When they went out, the mission was clear. And I pray for us that as we wait upon Christ, that we are not just wait and sit. We are going to wait in prayer. We are going to wait on our knees. Look at the church history. Even look at the major revivals that you've had in the world. People were waiting, reading the word. People were waiting in prayer. People were waiting with hunger. People were waiting with an expectation that, God, what is it you want us to do today? What is it that you want? Where is it you want us to do? What is it that can help to be able to fulfill this mission? Is it serving? Is it carrying things? Is it giving? Whatever you want me to do, God, that I'm ready to fulfill the mission you've called me to do. And the Bible says that those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, and about 3,000 in all. That all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and the sharing of the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. The church of Christ was still alive. That even after his death, the church was still alive. The church was growing. The church was building up. Even without Christ himself leading and championing and making sure that people are following him, the movement, faith, and whatever they were doing, it was still moving forward. Friends, we can do the same today. We can step out and do the same. But I go back to Solomon's story. That what are we doing on our part to stay alive? Because it begins by me staying alive. It begins by me being clear on what I want to do with Christ. It starts with me. I want to invite Linda to come back. And as Linda comes back, I want you to think about yourself. Now that you've experienced Christ, what is it that he's doing for you? And now that you've been transformed, for those of us who believe that you've been transformed, how that's shaping your mission and my and his mission. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because many times we fail you, God. Many times we want to go back. But I pray, God, you help us to stay on your mission. I pray you help us to remain focused on your mission. May you help us remain focused on the work that you're doing. And I pray, Lord, may you ignite the new passion in us, passion to go for your things, to love your things, to love your people, but also to go out and do the things that you did, Father. And I pray for those of us today that have been feeling so discouraged, that are feeling that they want to give up. I pray, Father, may you bring revival. May you ignite that passion in them, Father. And Lord, I pray on behalf of the church, may you revive our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.